it's a daily grind. And I love the word grind, by the way, especially in sales. It is. It's a damn grind. And you know what? If you're not up for the grind every day, then you probably should go get like a regular job sitting behind a desk.
I would agree. If you don't find something fun about that grind, you're going to be you're not going to be in sales for long. That's for sure. The business of sales is sometimes harder than actually making the sale in the first place. See, you're not only a professional salesperson, you're a business owner. But the focus always seems to be on sales. Well, we're here to help you. I've been in the sales world and training sales professionals for over four decades. My name's Morris Sims. I've seen some great salespeople fail because they didn't run their business very well. Well, we're going to share success concepts and interview some great entrepreneurs who are going to help you in your business. Welcome to the Business of Sales. Michael Pedersen is our guest today on the Business of Sales, and he is our very first Olympian on the Business of Sales and a fitness person that does great things to help folks get their mindset and their bodies where they need to be able to maximize their opportunities in running a business. Michael, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Morris. And let's correct this. I was almost an Olympian. I was not an Olympian. So I don't want anybody to. And it was so far ago, long ago, because I'm old, that even if you Googled it, you wouldn't find me anyways. But I do want to clarify that I'm all about authenticity and just transparency. So I was ranked nationally as a decathlete in Canada way back in the 80s. So did not make the team, but gave it a good run.
Hey, man, that's a heck of a lot closer to being an Olympian than anybody I've ever interviewed before. So thank you very much for being here.
you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, Michael, tell us a little bit about what you're doing today and where your business comes into play. Tell us who you work with and what you do for your folks that you work with.
Yeah, growth-driven male CEOs and business owners hire me to grow their revenues, get their mind right, and also get their health and fitness right. So you get kind of a big package when you bring me on board. So, you know, I was a private fitness trainer for almost 20 years, and the guys that I work with were CEOs and business owners, men, specifically men, in their homes. I would go to their multi-million dollar homes, and I would knock on their door, and I'd see this guy that was written up in the paper worth $60, $70 million, and he was a physical mess, he was a mental mess. His relationships were a mess, and that was way back when I was in my late 20s, and I saw this common theme here. You know, all these stressed out CEOs and business owners, you know, had all the money, but had horrible health. Their mindset was in the gutter, basically, and then they weren't really doing the right things to move the needle to grow their revenues.
So how do you go about helping somebody like that, Michael? In fact, even if they're not the, and I assume you don't necessarily only work with the people that have got $60 or $70 million, but how do you get better when you're that solo entrepreneur out there and you're working yourself as hard as you can, because every minute is another minute to try and make another buck. How do you go about changing that? How do you get it right?
You know, Morris, it's mindset. And a big part of the book that's out on Amazon now is mindset, because it really is. It comes down to one word. And the word that really circles back around in my book in all caps, it's so funny. My editor kept saying, "Why do you have these four words in all caps? We need to change that." And I said, "No, you're not. Do not change that. Do not change that." And one of the words is desire. How great is your desire for whatever endeavor we're talking about, whether it's your sales job, whether it's your business, whether it's getting healthier, whether it's just getting your mind right? It starts with desire, because if you do not have desire, it leads you down a very, very dark path.
Well, that makes good sense. You got to know what you want to get started is what I usually tell all my clients is let's get real clear about what you want.
You know, when you get that question out there and what people want, then you find out. I would dovetail it on the end of that and say, on a 1 to 10, how bad do you want that?
Yeah. Why do you want it? Why do you want it? Why is it important? Yeah.
That's that desire, right? So yeah. you know, you can flip it any way you want, but you know, and I've had so many talks with business owners and CEOs, and I said, you know, on a 1 to 10, you know, how important is it to grow your revenues, to get healthier, whatever. And they'll go, oh, a 7 or 8 or whatever. And I'll say, why isn't it a 10? And they go, well, I don't know. And I said, let me ask you a question. Do you have kids? And they go, oh yeah, 2 or 3 of them. I said, okay, if your kids needed you on it, 1 to 10, what would it be? They said, oh, no doubt a 10. Then I said, why isn't your health, your business, or your mindset a 10?
Great question.
And they're like, oh boy. Okay. He got me on that one.
It all comes back to values, right?
Yeah, values, and just, you know, you won't make excuses if you want it bad enough, right? Like it really, and my book is I don't know if you can curse on your podcast, I'll just say BS. I'd say the full thing if I knew I could, but, you know, be authentic and real with yourself, because you have to own your outcome. And, you know, there's all these motivational books out there, and I've read them all, and I believe in all of them. And I've got lots of phrases that I've even made up on my own. In my book, I've got quotes that I put my name after, because God dang it, those are my quotes. I've never heard them anywhere. So I thought I could put my name after that one. But it's all about that. You know, when people say, I don't have the time, no, basically you're saying you won't make the time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You're basically
yeah.
saying you won't make the time. So there, all these excuses, all these mindset shifts that need to take place to get your mind in the right direction to achieve the goals you want. It's a daily grind. And I love the word grind, by the way, especially in sales. It is. It's a damn grind. And you know what? If you're not up for the grind every day, then you probably should go get like a regular job sitting behind a desk.
I would agree. If you don't find something fun about that grind, you're going to be, you're not going to be in sales for long. That's for sure.
For sure.
Before I forget, Michael, tell us the title of your book and where we can find it real quick, because I don't think I got that initially here.
Yeah. It's the words resonate with me so well. Dominate Your Market is the title of the book on Amazon. Dominate Your Market. And we'll talk about the website at the end, but I just changed the website to people can download the first chapter for free.
Oh, cool.
And I've got my developer working on that right now. So probably by the time this podcast airs, I don't know how, I know you're a busy, busy guy over there. So I might be like in 2024. I'm not sure when this is going to go live, but yeah. So the website has a name and email address. I will never spam anybody. I can't stand when people abuse email. I've been an email marketer for over 20 years. And if you send emails with value, here's a little tip for the salespeople out there. My gosh, please, whenever you send an email or even a text message, ask yourself, is this bringing value to the person I'm sending it to? If it isn't, rewrite it.
Yeah, because I mean, that's boy, howdy, that's what we do. We got to help people get what they want in life. And that's where we are. We're helping people get to where they want to be.
People only care about their needs. They don't give a crap about you. And I don't want to sound too harsh about that, because as you get to working with somebody, they do care about you.
Yeah.
But when you're in that prospecting phase, when you're in that early honeymoon phase, they just want to know what you can do for them. And that's it.
I have a friend who teaches professionals how to speak and public speaking stuff. And I tell you what, he taught me years and years and years ago, because I started off a speech one time and I said, what I want to talk to you today about, and he just jumped out of his chair and said, stop right there. Just stop. Don't ever say that. Never, ever, ever, ever in your life again, ever say that. And there's a wonderful preacher in the world out there today that he starts off every sermon with. What I want to talk to you today about is, the fact is, they don't really care what you are, what you want, or what you want to talk about.
Thank you. My gosh, you just nailed it right there.
I mean, he taught me that decades ago, Michael, and I still believe it, and I still teach it today to my clients. It's not about what I want to do. It's not about covering material. I'm a training type. It's not about covering material. It's about helping you solve your problem.
You know, I want to add to that real quick, because I'm all about bringing value here. So when you said that the term I, when I talk to a lot of my clients, one of the first things I do is go to their website just to see kind of how they're communicating with their because mm-hmm. that's your brand on the internet, your website.
Yeah.
And the three words that I want everybody to eliminate in their vocabulary is we, us, and our. W-E, us, and then O-U-R.
Yeah.
Because those all bring it back to you. You're making it about you. So very similar to I, And I'll tell you a funny, quick little story, but I had a CEO, real cocky guy. I love cocky guys. I'm good. I'm good. I've been around, you know, very, very, very wealthy, famous people in my lifetime. So this guy, I pulled up his website. We were doing a screen share, and he was about a $20 million company, $15 million company, something like that. And I said, hey, I'm on your website. And, hey, what's your goal for the website? Oh, of course, get people to take action and calls or this or that. And I said, hey, that's awesome. So when you got words on your website, do you think you should be talking the language of these of your ideal prospects, or what do you think? Oh, 100%. I said, okay, well, I'm going to do a screen share with you, and I'm going to do a search and find for the word we, W-E, we, right? And he was watching screen share right on video. And I pulled up his homepage, and when you do a search and find on your computer, I don't know if you know this, but it highlights it yellow, like almost like a highlighter, right? Mm-hmm. Yellow.
Yep.
And his freaking homepage lit up like a Christmas tree. listen to this. He had 28 we reference of the word we on his homepage.
Oh my word.
28 of them. And I said, go to whoever wrote this thing and change the word from we to you or your. If you do that alone, if you just change the word we to you or your, your conversions, even off your website, are going to go up immediately.
That's incredible.
That's an exercise, right? So instead of saying we, us, and our, say you and your. That just remind yourself of it's you and your, not we, us, or our.
Oh, that's great. That is super. What a wonderful, wonderful tip and idea for everybody out there to think about. Because it is, well, think about it from your point of view, folks. If you're out there and you want to do business with somebody, you're looking to solve a problem, who are you going to do business with? The person who spends all their time talking about themselves, or the person who wants to know more about you and your problem?
100,000%. You just nailed it, Morris, right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just all part of the fun. That takes care of our sales conversation. I think we pretty well covered that. Tell me more about the fitness side of this thing, because that's something that I don't think I have ever had the opportunity to interview anyone who really works on the body side, the obviously the mind, the sales side, yes, but our physical makeup. Tell me more.
Yeah, well, thank you. Fitness has been my life since the age of 10. I started working out at 10 years old, and back in the day, we were told that when you lift weights, that's gonna ruin your sports. Right? That's not going to help your sports. That's going to hurt your sports, right? And I was 10. I was this bone skinny kid with shoulder blades sticking out of my back. And I was just a very skinny kid. But for some reason, my brother was a Greek god. He was 10 months older than me, but he was a man at the age of 12. He was 6'2", 190 pounds.
Oh, my.
At the age of 50, he was massive. He was just, and I was the opposite of that. So I was like a shadow to him. So I'm like, I want to be like him. Well, the only way I figured I could do it was lift weights. So I started lifting in my basement 2 hours a day after school at the age of 10. My mom was like, what are you doing every night down that in the basement? Mom, I want to put on some weight. I want to, you know, this is literally, I was 10 years old, no joke. Mm-hmm. And I went back to school the very next year, and I was 20 pounds heavier that first year. And I was like a little bodybuilder looking dude. You know, I showed up at age 11 with muscles. And by the time I was 13, you know, I was very, very muscular, very, not bodybuilder muscular, but very muscular. So it's been in my bones forever. And when I graduated college and then retired from track and field, I became a fitness model. And then from being a fitness model, I was a private fitness trainer in the home training male CEOs. And what I really found out across the board was everybody was so physically broken, like greatly overweight, out of shape, high blood pressure, just all across pre-diabetic, diabetic, across the board, that I thought, man, these guys are so successful, so wealthy, big multi-million dollar homes, and they could die tomorrow. And that really stuck with me. And that was over 25 years ago. And it really stuck with me. And so as time has gone on, I've never dropped, God willing, I've never dropped the fitness component for me. I work out 7 days a week. And my body weight hasn't changed 5 pounds in 35 years.
Boy, so I wish I could say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, but here's the thing. I wake up at 4:30 Monday through Friday, and I'm doing an hour of cardio at 5:30 every morning.
Wow.
And here's that thing. I don't say this to brag. Here's that thing where when people tell me they don't have time. Let me give you a quick story about when somebody says they don't have time. So I used to go to the gym. Now I've got a facility right in my complex. I live in a community, a gated community. It's got this really great fitness community center. But anyways, so 20 steps outside my front door, I'm doing a commercial grade cardio piece of equipment. And so I'm very, very lucky. But I used to go to the gym at 4:30 in the morning. Well, so if anybody, any of your listeners say they don't have time to do fill in the blank, to exercise, to work on their mind, to 30 minutes to read a mindset book, whatever it is, they don't have the time. I've met women in the gym, Morris, at 4:30 a.m. that were single mothers of four children at 4:30 a.m. in that God-blessed gym, working out for 90 minutes and then going home, getting their kids ready for school and going to a full-time job.
Wow.
I don't want to hear – I'm going to say this so aggressive that this is going to turn off some of your listeners. It is what it is, but my book won't be for them as well. I don't want to hear the bullshit excuses. I don't want to hear because it's ridiculous. If people say, you know, let's break down how many hours a week you watch TV, right? Like in the evening, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90, I don't, whatever it is. Right. I took a CEO one time. I've got all these stories, but they're all relevant. I had a CEO in his home one time, sat across the kitchen table. He had just sold his business for $120 million. He was worth about 90. Just sold it, just been written up all the papers up in Portland, Oregon. He sat across the, he got my name. We sat across the kitchen table from each other and he goes, why do I need you? And I said, you need me more than I need you. And I said, let's figure this out for a minute. And as we were talking, he said, let me tell you something. You know, I'm busy running my company. And he says, I don't have time for any of this. He was very combative. And I just said, okay, you messed with the wrong dude, buddy. I don't give a shit how many millions of dollars you are. I pulled out a pencil and a pad, and I said, we're going to go through your entire day, and I want you to give me an honest answer to the time it takes for whatever. And I said, what time do you get up in the morning? 7 o'clock. Perfect. How long do you eat breakfast? You know, 30 minutes. I said, okay, let's do an hour. Let's do it. You know what I mean? You know where I'm going with this. I said, let's put 45 minutes. You know, what's your commute? 30 minutes. Let's make it 45. I took his number and made it longer, right? He watched me do this as I wrote it all down. And I said, sir, would you agree that everybody has 24 hours in a day? And he goes, oh, Mike, come on. Yeah, of course. And I said, well, right here, I see 21 hours. You got 3 hours left. And this was including 8 hours of sleep. This was including 10-hour workday, everything. Everything. I said, we're at 21 hours. You got 3 left. What do you want to do?
I love it.
And he looked at me. He was paying me a lot of money to basically come in, work on his mind, work on his body. And I was giving him tips back then on his business. And I wasn't even in business consulting back then. I was purely a private fitness trainer that had a passion for entrepreneurialism and for business. And I got to know him so well. He started talking about business. I said, well, why don't you, this sales guy here, why that here? And why are you saying this and this over here? And he's like, who the hell are you? And then that morphed me into that kind of being a consultant advisor like I am now.
Oh, that's incredible. Absolutely. Oh, I'd love to hear all your stories. That's an amazing thing, Michael. But tell me, what do you do? I mean, when you're that entrepreneur out there and you're working what you believe to be, all the time that you've got to do whatever it is that you want to do, where do you start on the fitness side of things? Is it you start with some cardio? You start lifting weights? What do you do? There's got to be some first step. Everything begins with that first step, right? What's the first step?
Yeah, Morris, that's a great question because a lot of people might be starting from no activity of 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and 30 pounds overweight, 50 pounds overweight, you know, and all of those things. Something, I always say this, something is better than nothing, right?
Yeah.
So I've met so many people that wait for January 1 to start a fitness program, and I think that's the biggest crock of bull I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, yeah.
To wait for a date to start something is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. So do not wait for a date. If it's Friday, if you're listening to this podcast on a Friday, don't wait till Monday. Get up tomorrow, Saturday morning, and get doing something. Tomorrow, right? Don't say, oh, well, man, listen to this podcast. It's Friday, you know, I'll do my thing on the weekend and, you know, Monday will come around and, you know, I'll get it done because we know what happens with that. Monday never comes.
Yeah.
So my thing is, and I wrote this in the book, a tip for everybody is get a pair of running shoes or sneakers, whatever you want. Get a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Put it at the foot of your bed. So when you swing out of bed, your feet land on your shoes.
Oh, I love it.
Your feet land on your shoes, literally almost airborne in your shoes. Guess what's going to happen to your mind if you have that set up the night before?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to put the damn shoes on. Like if you don't put the shoes on and they're sitting under your feet, touching your feet, I don't know what to tell you. Then you're probably not going to live a long life and you're going to have a lot of health issues.
Boy, howdy, isn't that the truth? So, yeah.
So put it under your feet. So no excuse. It'll take you 30 seconds to go into your closet, grab the shoes, grab the shorts, grab the t-shirt, stick it right under to the side of your bed. When you swing out, there they are. And then the first thing you do is just walk for 10 or 15 minutes. Walk for 10 or 15 minutes. And you know, if it's, you know, in the east, I live in Arizona and it's 114 degrees right now. So I go on a 2 to 3 hour hike every Saturday morning. And I do it all the way through the summer.
Wow.
So a lot of people, I turned 59 next month, I turned 59 in 3 weeks.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. So here's the point, you know, oh, I'm too old. Yeah. Tell me about that one. I'm almost 60, right? Oh, it's too hot in the summertime. Well, tell me about that. You make modifications to be consistent.
Yeah.
And so, yes, am I getting off that mountain? And even at 9 a.m. in Arizona, it's probably 105.
Man.
Is it somewhat risky? Yeah, but I've been doing it my whole entire life. And I drink a gallon of water on the mountain as I'm mm-hmm. doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So get moving. And here's the biggest failure situation I've always seen, whether it's a New Year's resolution or when you start any kind of a health and well-being program, ask yourself, how long has it been? 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever. You need to embrace how long it's been since you've consistently exercised, not woke up one day because it maybe was January 1 and you did that one walk and then you did nothing after that and life went on. I'm not talking about that. When was the last time you were consistent with your exercise? And be truthful to yourself. And that's what I talk about in my book. Be truthful to yourself. When you ask that question and answer it, you find out 2 years, 3 years. Okay, now give yourself a little bit of a break. Do not tell yourself you're going to go from zero workouts to 7 days a week. Do not tell yourself you're going to go from 0 to 5 days a week. Do not even tell yourself you're going to go 0 to 3. Get the first one in.
Get started.
The first one in.
Yeah.
And what happens with fitness is it's a mindset thing. It's addictive. And anybody who's really into fitness will tell you that. And anybody that even dropped a lot of weight, they'll say, God, the first couple of days were brutal. I tried to talk myself out of it. All my excuses I've used all my life. But all of a sudden, I accomplished it. I did it. And all of a sudden, they got that momentum. And then nobody was stopping them. And then the mind games, the self-talk, the excuses, all the BS in your head that you did before is all gone.
That's incredible. Wow. Michael, I tell you what, that's the first time I've had that kind of a discussion at the Business of Sales, and I think it probably should have been one of the first things we did. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Tell me one more time, do the title of the book one more time for everybody.
Dominate Your Market is the name of the book, and that's just dominate is a real near and dear to my heart, right? Because in athletics and everything I've ever done, people have accused me of being a pit bull. A lot of my CEO clients are like, you're like a pit bull. And I'm like, oh, well, I mean, should I ask, is that a compliment? And they're like, hell yeah, that's a compliment.
Yeah, so, it is.
So dominate is just, it's dominate. Take that word however you want to take it. You know, people might be, I don't want to dominate. I just want to be successful. And okay, whatever you want to do, for me, it really resonated for me. Dominate was just a very aggressive, all in, fully committed type of a word. So the name of the book is Dominate Your Market. And like I said, we've got a free chapter. You can read the first chapter, which is a big part of the fitness part of the book. And this chapter here, it's going to either send you running scared or you're going to want to buy the rest of the book, because I get right at it from the first words in that chapter. So if you go to www.dominateyourmarketbook.com, that is the website, the author website. So it's the name, it's the title of the book, but then the word book on the end of it. So dominateyourmarketbook.com, dominateyourmarketbook.com.
Michael, that's perfect. Absolutely outstanding. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the Business of Sales.
Thank you for having me. And I hope, you know, I brought a lot of value to people, and just make the commitment and stick to it. You know, don't let your mind play games on yourself. Don't let excuses creep in. Just have that grinder mentality and you'll all be successful out there.
I appreciate it so much, Michael. Thank you very, very much. And to everybody else out there, hey, y'all, get up out of your chair, go move around, do something, get started. That first step, it's always the hardest, but it's always worthwhile. I know I'm going to do that. I got to get all the dirty clothes off the treadmill. But once I do that, I'm going to go start walking again. Hey, have a great week. Do some wonderful things. And I'll see you again next time right here on the Business of Sales.